Good to see everybody out this morning. Just to update you, a reminder, next Sunday we do not have in-person worship. It'll be online only next Sunday with all of the traveling. There's Luke. I'm sorry. There you are. Good, fantastic job this morning. But all of the traveling and everybody being around, everybody, we want to do everything we can to curb the spread of COVID. So next Sunday we will not meet it live and in person. So this is the last Sunday of the year. And then this Thursday at 4 p.m. is our Christmas Eve service. I want to update you on the Christmas offering. I haven't given you an update yet on the total. We are already over $145,000 that came in on the Christmas offering. Let's give the Lord a hand on that. And we're excited to see. We're going to be giving you some updates in the next few weeks about when we're going to be connecting to City Sewer and when we'll start on the parking lots out front and make room for new people that God is going to be sending to our campus. And all of these neighborhoods that are building around us, we're hoping to infiltrate them with the gospel and do our part to allow them to know that Jesus Christ loves them and died to have a relationship with them. We're excited about that. Look at Luke chapter 2 for our text this morning. Christmas Eve, Christmas Sunday, all of these things really center around the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ came to earth. God came to earth in human form and made possible that right relationship with God the Father. And it's exciting to think about, you know, a little girl was sitting on her grandpa's lap and was talking about what she wanted for Christmas, and she was reading off this long list that she had written out for her Christmas desires and what she wanted. The grandfather looked at her, all of those things on her list, and he said, you know, he was thinking this as a teachable moment. He said, you know what? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And she said, she looked at her grandfather. She said, I know, Grandpa, but receiving is good enough for me. And you know, whenever you're a child, there's something about receiving a gift. And those of you that are parents or grandparents, there's something about wrapping up a present and placing it under a tree and giving it out on Christmas Day. And the excitement that comes along with watching them open that present and the anticipation. And I remember years ago when I was young, sometimes my dad would put something small in a really, really big box because he knew we were going to go over and shake it and we're going to try to figure out what it was. And one time he hid a present in the car. There was like a little storage compartment in the back of our station wagon. And I was fumbling through the car and I found this this truck, and it was like a trailer pulling a boat or something like that. And I found it. I made the mistake of telling my dad I found one of my Christmas presents. He made me wait till the day after Christmas to get that particular one for snooping. But anyway, there's something about a kid opening a present. There's something about receiving that gift. And what is it that you want for Christmas today? American Express did a survey and found that 31% of people said that the worst gift that they could possibly receive would be a fruitcake, all right? Anybody in the house think that's one of the worst gifts you can receive? Now, I take a trip every year with some of our adults to the fruitcake factory, and their fruitcake is actually, I'm not a big fruitcake fan, but their fruitcake's pretty good, and a lot of people here like fruitcake. But what's the worst gift that you could possibly receive? And what do you do with those gifts that you get that you don't like, all right? Anybody in here are as a re-gifter? Anybody take that package, wrap it back up, put on some different, nobody else is going, you're lying, people. You've never given the re-gifted a gift, all right? How many return gifts, all right? You're back in the after Christmas sales, returning things, taking it to Kohl's to ship back to Amazon or wherever it is that you're shopping at. All the things that people return, and maybe it's a necktie or a t-shirt, and growing up, we always got socks and underwear at Christmas. And so you hang on till Christmas, you're going to get some of these things that you need. How many of you just place it in a closet? I remember my grandparents would put them in a closet, and years later, you'd go back, and there was presents still wrapped in the closet that they had gotten at Christmas time and never did anything with. One of the best ways to get rid of a Christmas gift that you don't want is go to a white elephant gift exchange. You give that gift away, and it's the gift that keeps on giving. We had a wreath one time that was god-awful ugly, and it was the gift that was like a traveling gift. And we would put it on someone's front door, and then the whole thing was they were eventually supposed to put it on someone else's door, and it kept moving around the neighborhood and having a good time with it. the Word of God tells us, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, he says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable or unspeakable gift. God sent his Son Jesus Christ into the earth." And it's, we ought to thank God. We ought to fall on our knees and be thankful for the sacrifice. The suffering he took for our sin on the cross is something that we should never get over. And the fact that he didn't stay dead, he rose again victoriously from the grave. And maybe you've lost a loved one this year or recently, and to know that one day, if we know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that person had a relationship with him, we know with confidence that we will see them again. And there's great comfort, there's great joy in knowing that we can see our loved ones again one day. And we studied a couple weeks ago about Mary and her story. And the baby in Mary's womb would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us, God incarnate, born to be with us. He revealed his plan to Mary, and her response was, "May it be to me as you have said." In other words, she was obedient. She surrendered her will to the will of God the Father. And folks, that's what God wants, is to have all of us, not just part of us this Christmas season. He wants all of us. Joseph, we looked at last Sunday, struggled to figure out his part in God's story. And we talked about last Sunday how in all of the Gospels and all of the reading about the nativity and God coming to earth in form of a baby, no words are recorded from Joseph. I mean, he was a man of very, very limited vocabulary. Maybe he didn't get a chance to talk, who knows. But it doesn't record anything that he actually said. And you know that he probably did, but it doesn't say that in Scripture. Joseph figured out his part, and he took Mary home to be his wife. And in Matthew 1:24, it's awesome to see that Joseph responded by receiving the gift that God had given him. And he responded in obedience, trusting in God's plan. So I want us to look at Luke 2 this morning, the passage that Luke Kelly quoted earlier. We're going to look all the way to verses 1 through 20. It says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered or taxed. This was the first registration when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Heavenly Father, for the next few moments, may your Holy Spirit arrest our attention, God. And Lord, I know there's a lot of get-togethers planned this week. There are family type reunions and meals and gatherings of family and friends that will be taking place. And Lord, I pray that for just a few moments, we would set aside any of those details and shopping and cooking and baking and all of the things that have to happen. And Lord, help us to focus in on the gift that's ready to be received. Lord, I pray this morning that those that may not have ever received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son. God, that this morning they would understand that this gift is available to all of us. And Lord, if we'll simply open our heart and accept what you've already done as payment for our sin, God, it's the greatest gift that we could possibly receive today. I pray this Christmas season, Lord, we wouldn't get so caught up in all of the materialistic side of Christmas that we lose sight of that tiny baby in a manger and what you came to accomplish and what this passage in Luke 2 outlines, really what you came to do here in this life and offer us eternal life. God, do something in our midst this morning. Those that do not know you as Lord and Savior, may you draw them to yourself. May your Holy Spirit convict them and save their soul this morning. Lord, for those who know Christ as their Savior, help it not to be something that we just embrace once a year and it's just kind of that thing we do at Christmas or Easter, but God, may it be one of those things that radically transforms our lives and allows us to be a beacon of hope and light to the dark world around us. And God, may we share that story of hope and the gift that can be received. Lord, we love you. We praise you for what you're going to accomplish this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. And looking at the heart of Christmas, Max Lucado captured the indescribable incarnation in his book, God Came Near. He wrote this, he said, that particular moment was like none other. He said, for through that segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became a man. He said, while the creatures of earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself up and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent is in one instant made himself breakable. He who had been a spirit now was pierceable. He who sustained the world with the word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God, as a tiny baby, as a fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows and elbows and two kidneys and a spleen. And he stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God had come near. The greatest presence of all is the presence of Jesus Christ. The greatest presence that you and I can receive this Christmas season is the gift of God's Son and experiencing once and for all what it means to know God and have an intimate, deep-seated relationship with God. And it sums up what Emmanuel means, God with us. The greatest gift of all is God himself and how he sent Jesus Christ here to earth. It involves three things. And this morning we look at the gift is Jesus Christ himself. You see, sometimes we're looking around and we're trying to figure out what is the true meaning of Christmas. And our family, as kids, my parents would drive us around to look at Christmas lights. And that was one of the highlights of the Christmas season. The baking, the cooking. My dad's a big baker. Even with our kids now, we have a Christmas cookie decorating night. And the cousins come over and we'll decorate cookies and bake them. And it's like a little competition of seeing who can do the best job decorating. And we have all these cookie cutters. We get them all out. There's sprinkles all over the whole entire kitchen. There's icing everywhere. But folks, it's a fun thing. But in all of the things that go along with Christmas, to going to the mall, going to parades that maybe aren't happening this year, but those normal traditions that go along with Christmas, let's don't miss that the gift is Jesus Christ himself. He's offering us his life and for ours. People are looking over their Christmas list. They're checking them twice. They're searching for that perfect gift this Christmas season. But folks, Jesus is the reason for the season. It's about Jesus Christ. He's the reason that we celebrate Christmas. It's about the tiny baby in a manger. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. God came to earth as a tiny baby so that he might make possible that right relationship with each one of us. So we think about what Christmas is all about. It's about Jesus Christ, his Son. Have we received that gift? John 4:10 says, if you knew the gift of God and knew it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would given you living water. Folks, the beautiful thing about the relationship with God is it's not dependent on our works or our deserving what God, because folks, we don't deserve it, but it's God's grace. It's his unmerited favor that he offers his son, Jesus Christ, as our payment for our sins. He's offering that. Romans chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many?" So folks, this morning, we have to understand that that gift, that greatest gift is Jesus Christ, God's Son, who came here in Luke 2. This morning, the gift that God is offering to each of us is that right relationship with God the Father. We see, secondly, this gift has great value. Alan Perkins put it this way. He says, although there's truly nothing more desirable than knowing Christ, he says, many people just can't see it. Their eyes haven't been open to the truth. They look into the manger and they don't see a king. The Jewish people were looking in all of the wrong places. They were looking for a royalty, regal. They were looking for something in a palace. But the prophets of old had foretold he would be born in Bethlehem. It was foretold for hundreds of years. But this gift has great value. They haven't opened their eyes. They don't see the king. They don't see the Savior of the world. They don't see the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All they see is an ordinary human being born to humble parents, came to this earth in swaddling clothes. And so they pass by the child in a manger seeking after the presence, seeking after something grand, something of greater value or stature. So they search past all of it. Which do you value the most, the toys and trinkets that will eventually fade away? You think about all of the gimmicks that they have to get you to buy stuff. When I was growing up as a kid, one of our favorite cereals was Captain Crunch. I don't know if anybody ever ate Captain Crunch, but I remember, Justin, when I was a kid, they were offering like a free, I think it was a BMX bike or something like that, but you could possibly win a BMX bike on the back of the Captain Crunch. Kim, you probably remember seeing those. And I mean, we went through Captain Crunch like there was no tomorrow. I mean, we should have bought stock in Kellogg or whatever the company makes that, because we were buying Captain Crunch left and right thinking, I mean, if we keep buying these things, we're going to win this bike. And I don't know if anybody actually wins those things or not, or if it's just a gimmick to get you to buy it, but it worked on us. And, you know, McDonald's has a Happy Meal, and in that Happy Meal, they put a little toy in there, and that toy is a gimmick, Jason, to get you to buy it. And you start seeing, you know, hey, it has a Disney toy, or it has a Cars toy, or it has this, a Barbie toy, or has something in there, and it's something to draw you in. So sometimes we're looking around trying to find something more valuable, but the gift has great value. Jesus Christ has great value in that relationship. For some reason, people refuse to accept God's gift. We gain insight from Mary as she contemplated the baby that was laying there in her arms. She was so filled with thankfulness. She burst into the psalm of praise in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." She understood how little she deserved any of this, and how she was so such a meek, humble servant, and yet God would choose her. Folks, the fact that God would choose to save us blows my mind, folks. It's far beyond anything I can comprehend. And he didn't just send his son Jesus to die for a select few. He died for the sins of the... He's not willing that any should perish, the word of God says, but that all should come to repentance. Some people say, well, you know what? There's that elect thing. You know what? God still sent his son to die for all of the sins of the entire world. He didn't handpick, cherry pick, say this person's of more value, this person makes more money, this person has more talent, they have better looks. I mean, we'd all be in some serious trouble here this morning if it was one based on our merit or our favor. But God doesn't look down and cast disparity against each one of us. He looks at each one of us as a sinner in need of a Savior. And His Son has great value. Dr. Bruce Emmerich suggests that there's three types of people who close themselves off from the Christ of Christmas. He said there's the proud. In verse 51, he says, of Luke chapter 1, he says, we read that He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Imagine the proud person kind of crosses their arms. We've all seen them. I know some of you are crossing your arms right now. I'm not making fun of you. But you've seen the proud person that just kind of scowls at everybody. They've got life by the tail. They've got it figured out. They have a plan, and they're living according to their own making. A life that they're creating for themselves. The proud, they fold their arms across their chest. They're closed to anything that might God wants to give to them, to bless them with. God wants to richly give to them and allow us to experience His blessing and His favor. There's the proud, then there's also the powerful. There are others who are consider themselves too self-sufficient to need a Savior. Verse 52 says, Mary sang, He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. The powerful raise their fist towards God, and they think they've conquered something. They think they've arrived. And yet, what is He saying? He says, we are desperately in need of a Savior. Someone who will say, the powerful raise their hands or their fist in dependence, refusing to surrender. Then there's the pacified. Think about that. The person who's, they're just content. And you know, they have a difficult time receiving the gift of God because they're too comfortable to need Him. Maybe God has already blessed them. Maybe it's a financially or health-wise or business-wise, and they just kind of go through life and they're just kind of fat and happy, you know. And sometimes we can find ourselves in that place where life is just good and we don't think we need a God. We don't think we need a Savior. We don't need someone to take away our sins. Do any of these describe you this morning? The proud, the powerful, the pacified, because it keeps us from accepting the free gift of salvation through God's Son, Jesus Christ. You won't accept God's gift if your hands are folded across your chest. You won't accept Christ if your fists are balled up thinking you've arrived. You won't accept Christ if you're just rubbing your belly because you're fat and happy and pacified. We will accept God's Son, Jesus Christ, when we open our hands to God and say, God, I desperately need You. I am absolutely nothing, of no value. The Word of God says that all of our righteousness are as filthy, disgusting rags. But folks, but God, in His great mercy, loved us so much that He would send Jesus Christ. So you can't receive God's mercy if your hands are clenched in power, if they're across your chest in pride. You can't receive it if it's on your stomach and being pacified. You only receive a gift of God when your hands are open. If you're proud, get rid of the arrogance this morning. If you think you're powerful, it's time to lose all of the pretenses. If you're pacified, maybe it's time you lose some of the perks in this life. And sometimes God allows periods of trial into our lives that cause us to look up and acknowledge that I desperately need God. Sometimes God puts us flat on our back before we recognize I desperately need Him. Don't wait to that point. Come to faith in Jesus Christ today, then the gift must be received. Friend, you can only receive God's gift when you reach out to Him with your arms and hands open wide. And it may seem difficult, or it may seem easy to understand, but folks, there are at least two ways some of us get sidetracked. We think somehow this morning that we can earn salvation. We think we can earn favor with God. We think we can earn all of these things, earn the gift of God. And no matter how many times we may hear that the gift of salvation is free, some people think, you know what, if I go to church every Sunday or if I go on Christmas and Easter, that somehow I'm going to gain entrance into heaven. I've over the years known people that thought, well, hey, if I'm really nice to the pastor, maybe it gets me a better place in heaven. Well, I'm thankful that you're nice to me, but I hate to break the 411 to you. It's not going to get you any closer. All right? I mean, at the end of the day, it's what you do with Jesus Christ. But folks, somehow we think that it's something we can earn. We can earn this gift. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm thankful that the verse doesn't end there, because folks, our salary may be separated from God, but he says the wages of sin is eternal separation, damnation, separation from God, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Folks, we live in a world where I've sat through countless high school graduations. You can do anything you set your mind to. You can, and it's a humanistic philosophy. And I understand where some of it comes from, because you want to inspire, you want to encourage people to go forward. But folks, apart from Jesus Christ, any attempt at greatness, any attempt at succeeding in life is futile. But folks, with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do anything. With the power of the Holy Spirit living within you as a follower of Jesus Christ, he can empower you to be a great leader, a great teacher, a great doctor, a great attorney, a great politician. You say, is that even possible? Yes. A great preacher, a great missionary that goes around the world, a great construction worker, a great banker, whatever, you fill in the blank, a great nurse. God can enable you to be the very best that you can be with his Holy Spirit empowering us. He says, it's by grace that we're saved, not by works, so that no one can boast. We also trip up when we think that we can buy this gift. Not only can we not earn it, we can't buy it either. You see, some people get through life because God has blessed them with the ability to make money, and they think, you know what, I can buy anything I want. We've all met those people, and they just, money's just kind of flowing freely, and I can go and buy anything that I set my mind to. If I want it, it's mine. If I want it, I'll get it. And folks, there's nothing wrong with having money, but if we think that we can buy God's favor or his blessing, we are sadly mistaken in this life, because folks, no amount of money, not all of the riches and wealth of this world, Donald Trump with billions of dollars cannot buy a relationship with God. Bill Gates cannot buy a relationship with God. George Soros cannot buy a relationship with God. They might be able to buy a lot of other things, but they can't buy happiness and joy and contentment, because that only comes when that God-sized hole is filled with Jesus Christ. So we can't buy it. During the Spanish-American War, Clara Barton was overseeing the work of the Red Cross in Cuba. One day, Colonel Theodore Roosevelt came to her wanting to buy food for his wounded soldiers, but she refused to sell him any. Roosevelt was perplexed, and honestly, it made him a little angry. His men needed something to eat, and he was prepared to pay for it out of his own pocket. When he asked someone why he couldn't buy what he needed, he was told, Colonel, just ask for it. She'll give it to them. It's free. They're going to give it to the soldiers. And a smile broke over his face as he suddenly realized that the provisions were not for sale. They were being given. All he had to do was simply ask, and it would be given freely to him. That's how salvation works, folks. We can't buy it. You can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But yet God gives it freely to each one of us. And we simply must receive it. This morning, as we look at the application, friend, have you ever received Jesus Christ? He is all of the provision that we'll ever need. He's all of the thing that will sustain us in the greatest trials of 2020, 2021, and beyond. He's the only one that will enable you to navigate through this road or race called life with confidence, knowing that God is sovereign. He's in control. And when all of the circumstances around us seem to be out of control, we can trust in Jesus. Jesus is offering himself to you as a gift. You've done nothing to deserve him. You certainly can never afford him. But he's offering himself to us because he loves us. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful for our God who loves me in spite of the fact he knew me before the foundation. That's overwhelming, folks. It's hard to wrap our minds around. It's hard to comprehend that God loved us even before he created us. And even though he knew all of the details of our lives, he still loves us. Christmas ultimately comes down to a choice. Will you receive and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? When he died in your place, paying the full penalty of your sin, has he exchanged his life for yours? Or are you too prideful, too powerful, too pacified to receive that free gift of salvation? The gift of Christmas is free, but folks, it's not cheap. In fact, this morning it cost God the death of his one and only Son. But salvation is now available to anyone and everyone who wants it. John 1:12 sums up the ultimate Christmas choice. He says in John 1, verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children or sons of God. That is our right. Is you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we become heirs of the Father, folks. We become his child. We are grafted and adopted into the family of God. To receive means to welcome a visitor in your home. It's what happens when someone knocks on your door and you open the door and you invite them in to come in. You receive Jesus Christ. You welcome him in as an honored guest and to have him make your heart his home. In a real sense this morning, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, he's still outside. He's still knocking. As Revelation 3, verse 20 says, it's written to believers who are out of fellowship with Christ. The image is helpful. Jesus is standing there knocking. And folks, he's wanting. And John 1:13, it says, those who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus is offering us to be a part of the family of God. You aren't a Christian this morning because your parents are. And I'm thankful for the godly heritage that God blessed me with. And the fact that I have a father and a mother who love me so much that they took me to church. They didn't send me, they took me to church. They taught me the Word of God at an early age. And I received Jesus Christ. I received that free gift of salvation. I'm thankful for that heritage. I'm thankful for the example that they have set for me over the years. I'm thankful I can now pass that on down to my kids and teach them how to have a personal relationship with God. But folks, salvation is not something we can earn. It's not because of who our parents are. You don't get brownie points with God because of some good family or because you have a good education. You can't save yourself by human effort, so don't bother trying. The heart of the gospel is in the short, he says, we're born of God. Salvation is of the Lord. It is a free gift. And sometimes that's difficult because we think we've got to do something to deserve it. But folks, you've got to lay all that aside. Lay our earthly feelings and thoughts on the table and say, I don't deserve it. I cannot pay for it. I can't earn it. Never going to happen on my own. But I believe that God loves me and sent his son Jesus. And the best way I know how, I confess my sins and I receive that free gift of eternal life. It's a gift ready to be received. The Word became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This morning, God is offering us a gift, and it has our name on it. All you have to do is receive it. And I can tell you this, you'll never truly enjoy and understand Christmas as you experience all that God intended this life to be for you. To receive Jesus Christ, till you can look in the Father's face and tell him that you've received that Christmas gift to you. There's nothing I can do to earn it. There's nothing I can do to pay for it. And folks, the only choice I have is either refuse it and lose it, or I can choose it and I can find what I've been searching for. So maybe you're here this morning, you've been searching for joy, peace, contentment, happiness, all of the things that life cannot give us on our own. But I'm searching for something. Folks, the only thing that will fill that void is a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never received Christ, don't leave the gift of God's grace unopened. Sometimes after Christmas, maybe someone didn't show up for the Christmas gathering, and there's one or two random gifts under the tree. Anybody else ever have that? And you're thinking, I've got to get that present to them. But folks, sometimes people leave the free gift of salvation there in the manger because they never open their heart and receive the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Don't relegate him to the far recesses of our life like some Christmas decoration that we may or may not ever get out of the attic again and put up. Don't do that. Allow him to radically come into our life and transform us from the inside. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, maybe you're here and you're sitting in the service. Maybe you're tuning in online today and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. I want you to know this morning, first of all, I love you. I love each one of you, and I'm praying for you. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to your heart, and this Christmas you would receive and open your heart to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, God's Son. Can I say the greatest gift that you could possibly get this Christmas season is not a new video game or a new car or computer or iPhone and all the things that kids will have on their Christmas list that they're wanting. No, the most important gift you can receive is that relationship with Jesus Christ, God's Son. Do you know Jesus Christ this morning? Has there been a time that you placed your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation? If not, can I invite you right now where you're seated to just cry out to the Lord and pray, say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I believe that you love me. And as John 3:16 says, you sent your son Jesus, your only begotten son, to die on the cross for my sin. The best way I know, I place my faith and trust in you and ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. That prayer, if you prayed it just a moment ago, is the most important step because it's that moment that you have now received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're going to sing a final song this morning. If God is speaking to your heart, do business with God. Don't leave that baby in a manger. Don't leave that gift under the tree or on the shelf. But open your heart and your life up to the fact that Jesus Christ loves you. And in spite of all of the ways that we have failed him, he still loves us and desires to have a relationship with us this morning. Heavenly